This is a series about suicide prevention, and we are warning everyone. We're going to be dealing with a lot of raw emotions, and there's a possibility that there's going to be cussing or something people may find offensive. We are not filtering anything out of these interviews, as this is a grave issue and one that people should try to understand and take seriously. We are appealing to those listeners that have secretly been contemplating the idea of suicide. We understand and we love you. We ask you to listen to the horrific stories that were told to us for you and see how these amazing, incredible people survive their horrors. And maybe it will give you hope that you can survive yours. If you do need help, please contact the Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255 and or please reach out to someone, anyone. There's always an ear willing to listen and a heart that cares. My name is Victoria.
And my name is Shauna. And this is the mini-series Surviving the Horror, presented by the host of Exploring the Paranormal with Geeks Paranormal.
Listening and viewing discretion is advised. For the next few weeks, we have decided to do a mini-series called Surviving the Horror. This mini-series is incredibly personal to us, especially me.
As a veteran, this is personal too, because I see the statistics of my fellow veterans and it breaks my heart. 45,390 American adults died by suicide in 2017. These deaths included 6,139 veterans in 2017. In 2017, veterans accounted for 13.5% of all deaths by suicide among U.S. adults and constituted 7.9% of the U.S. adult population.
We know that right now it has been super hard. Being in isolation, watching as many of our friends and family and co-workers are on either side of political views that has now become an end of all relationship if you happen to view things not lining up with their views. We know more people are feeling like they cannot go on, that there is no hope, that they might as well kill themselves because it will not get better. I have been there. I know that feeling.
And we want you to know you're not alone. There is hope.
For the next few weeks, we have stories for you of many amazing people that have gone through horrific, life-changing events and are now doing so much better.
And now, let us begin. Surviving the Horror.
Hello, everybody. This is Shauna with Exploring the Paranormal with Geeks Paranormal.
And this is Victoria.
And Vicky is actually, she's still going to be here, but she's kind of going to be in the background because she surprised me tonight with one of my old sergeants from the military. So I'm going to go ahead and let you introduce yourself.
Well, my name is James Allen Pennington. I'm the CEO of a nonprofit organization called Horses Healing Veterans. What we do is we rescue horses that have been neglected, and then we rehabilitate them, and then I train them to be therapeutic horses. We not only work with veterans, but we work with abused women, children with autism, the blind, and first responders.
James and I reminisced over old times, while he also shared a bit of his past that I had no idea about. From the death of his best friend in combat to almost losing his life and being saved by a horse, his charity, Horses Healing Veterans. And he goes on to reveal a bit of the paranormal himself. This part is the second part of his show, where he speaks a little bit more about his paranormal experiences and how to reach him in case you need to.
And welcome to part two of James Pennington's story.
Wow. Then I went to Sloss Furnace and had experiences. And
oh man, I bet that was wild.
That's in Birmingham.
Yeah, yeah.
That's one of the places we want to go.
Yeah.
We definitely want
to
go.
Well, let me know. I'd love to go do that. Definitely. Now that I'm retired, I do go and I try to experience things for myself. Mm-hmm. I'm currently in Lexington, Kentucky, and I want to check out, what was it, the Ludenhouse?
That's the one that, yes, we were using on the roots.
Yeah, I actually want to go check that out. I'd like to check that out.
That is Sergeant Pinton in the military. That was when he was, I'm guessing you were in Afghanistan in this picture. Can you see it?
Oh, yeah.
We are still going to put that on our screen when we make this a video. Yes. Because this will be a video, but it'll go to sound first. It'll be audible, and then it'll go to a different place, and then
it's going to go everywhere.
And the little girl.
I'm looking for it.
That
little girl for the pencil?
That's
definitely want that Facebook one, because that is an awesome story. Love the pencil my Facebook story.
Oh, there she is right there.
Yep, that's the one. That's the one.
Right there.
Oh, look it.
That's actually in Afghanistan.
Oh my
that's
goodness.
That's beautiful. I love that.
Because I got my rifle slung.
I know nobody that's listening to this show can see what we're seeing, but if you do, stay tuned. We will be putting this on Patreon.
We're going to be putting it on Patreon, but I will put this particular picture on our website at Exploring Paranormal with Geeks Paranormal. It will go on one of the blogs.
Yeah, it'll go on our blog.
And as a matter of fact, I have on my Facebook page a picture of me getting promoted to sergeant at the motor pool in the 51st Chemical Company.
No way!
Yeah.
I will find it.
I can't see what! What are they looking at? What is this?
Because, yes, I will have to post up some pictures of our time at 51st.
Well, that's why I asked you about
military pictures. She asked me on the way out the door. She goes, hey, where are your military pictures? I went,
that's the only clue that she had
on my Facebook
and
page.
I was like, oh, I was just curious. I wanted to see them.
Okay.
The only clue she had. That was it. And then I just kind of let it drop. Didn't say nothing more about it.
And I'm just like clueless. Like, okay. I even went back inside and I said, hey, Justin, she just asked me about my military pictures. Don't know why. He goes,
But you know, the funny thing about it is I can get away with doing that, and here's why, because I am so freaking random that I would randomly ask something like that, and she would just be like, yeah, well, that's just Victoria being random again.
Yep. Oh my goodness. But didn't you have another question?
I've had lots of questions. I thought you were you said but on.
Oh, I was
that
gonna
using
ask,
fouls by a statement.
I was trying to think of what we had just talked about before we went rattling off on pictures.
What is your favorite genre of the paranormal?
Genre.
Yeah, like UFOs, spirits.
He knows what genre is.
Right. Oh, I'm just giving you examples.
No, that's free.
Alien probing.
No alien probing.
Aliens.
Prior to me coming to Lexington, Kentucky, I worked out on a cattle ranch, so a 24,000 acre cattle ranch in Carrizozo, New Mexico. And I was not too far from the Roswell crash site.
Oh wow.
Matter of fact, I kind of rode out that way on horseback and kind of check that place out there, but I would say it's equal. I find paradoxes in both the spiritual and the terrestrial or extraterrestrial, because I don't believe that aliens come from outer space. Well, not all of them.
Not all. That's true.
Wait, what?
You guys say believe that aliens come from outer space, not all of them.
Well, I mean, yeah.
I mean, I'm on both. Like, okay. Let's address the elephant in the room about both. Okay, some people don't believe in ghosts. Some people don't believe in aliens.
Right.
It's gonna be.
it's going to be difficult for me to sit here and be logical and as educated and experienced and whatever as I am to say, when you die, that's it. It's game over. However unique and special you are, you're no longer
there. I don't believe
you have a soul.
Because our souls are eternal, so they've always been and always will be. So before we were born, we were there. And when we die, we're still there. There somewhere.
And then with the extraterrestrials. If you fathom, or if you can imagine how big a space is, that's just around Earth, like the galaxy and what's past the galaxy and things like that, how many habitable planets they are, it would be very difficult for me, again, to try to make a very logical and educated decision that there is nothing else living down there.
Wow.
Now, is it ET or Independence Day? Or is it bacteria? I don't know. No idea. I don't have that experience or that.
No. We think we do.
Yeah, we think we do from what we've seen with our own two eyes. But
together, yeah.
I saw some when I was younger, and we saw one together just a few years ago.
Actually, it was a week before I saw something that was unexplainable, and I took a picture of it, which is the one I get to.
I think this is really interesting. As a matter of fact, I would like your help. I think I have something. Well, I want to help people with their horses. Whenever throughout my cowboy education, I've learned how to help horses and people, and I would like to try to help people out, maybe with a podcast or something like that.
Yeah, that'll be something that we can walk you through.
Yeah.
Give you some pointers, let you know what's happening, what we can do.
Well, you know, we'll let you know right now that we went to a lot of the Para-X shows are live. They're all live performances. We chose not to do that because we did for a while and they sucked.
Yeah, we kept having technical difficulties. Oh, we have an entity in this room. Yeah. This entity likes to mess with our stuff.
And yeah,
drain batteries.
Not only that, but like
drain batteries, mess with the mics, turn off something on the equipment.
Right. I mean,
did you have a crash right before the show?
There was constantly problems. I mean, half of the shows weren't even being showed because it would take forever to cut in, and we'd only have an hour time. And you know, and the other thing is, if we had a guest, and you know, we had to cut them off. Because it was a live show.
And we had to go to a commercial break in the middle of the show.
And we had to stop them. And this way, you can talk as much as you want. And
I can put in the commercial break.
We can throw the commercial break in, and we can say, hey, guess what? We got a part two for our next week if it runs over. Or we can say, go and watch it over here for the extended view or whatever. We like it much better. I just tell you that. We like it much better.
That's great.
It's been pretty awesome. In about 3 minutes, 2 minutes, in about 2 minutes, she's probably going to do all the talking because I have got to prepare to get off of the show.
Well, I tend to talk a lot anyway. I don't think that'll be hard. But okay, so I am going to ask a question that hopefully will give you a long enough time to answer so what she can finish this. So what is the most important thing you've learned in your life? And what was your life like before that lesson compared to now?
That's a very good question. The most important thing, it's probably going to come off cliche-ish, but it's my most important thing, is keep an open mind when it comes to things. Be flexible. You know, being rigid and fixed on things, it really stunts your growth personally. And I'm all about personal growth, regardless of who you are, what you are, whatever the case may be. You know, if we fail as humans, if we fail to uplift one another.
Yes.
We'll be right back.
There is the National Domestic Violence Hotline that you can call. They are open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And if you need anything, any kind of emergency or anything, you can call this hotline. It's actually 1-800-799-7233. And if you're unable to speak safely, you can always log on to the hotline, thehotline.org. That's what it is. Yeah. It's thehotline.org. Or text. You can even text them.
Love is.
They don't even, the other person doesn't even know what you're doing.
You can text love is to 1-866-331-9474. Again, it is love is one, they put it together as one word, to 1-866-331-9474. Just remember, you are not alone.
Nope.
And you're in the middle of your horror, but you can get out. You can have your best life.
And now back to the show.
And if you're not helping somebody, you're definitely not helping yourself.
Right.
And it's all about self-improvement. It's about taking people with you whenever you improve. And it's just all about making the world a better place and everybody around you better. So, I mean, there's plenty of people out there that need help with 1,000 different things, and it's our mission to, and I know that's a military thing. it's your mission.
Yes.
It's our mission to help somebody, and if we can't help somebody, find somebody that can help that somebody.
Yes.
You know, but we are a social species, and there's no reason why we shouldn't use that to our advantage.
Helping people out.
I've always felt like, you know, God blesses us so that we can bless others. And it's sort of like a basket, you know, we're interweaving, you know, like we're only as strong as, you know, who we're helping up, because we're all interweaved together.
Absolutely.
And if you're not willing to help the next person up, then that basket's basically useless, and we're not going to be strong.
Yep. Exactly.
It's pay it forward. You know, you're blessed. Knock off a little piece and pay it forward.
Exactly. What is the most bizarre paranormal concept that you are willing to entertain with the rational part of your brain? The rational, not the irrational.
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
What is the most bizarre paranormal concept that you are willing to entertain with the rational part of your brain? Like, what can you go, this rationally could be possible, and that is the most bizarre thing that you could possibly do. Like, you know, my biggest bizarre thing is Bigfoot. I think, well, yeah, rationally, I could see that this might happen, but like, I can't wrap my mind.
Yeah, but isn't there like a whole branch of science on that? It's called cryptozoology.
It's cryptozoology.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I think that's already found in fact.
Well, see, that's where my rational mind can prove, yep, there's science on it.
It's
but the Mothman, I'm like, really? The Mothman. I mean, if it's there, it's there, but like, that's my irrational mind. Irrational mind go, yeah, maybe, but my rational mind's like,
I would say, communicating with animals from the beyond.
Do you think that there is animals from beyond that won't wander around, but we just can't communicate with them? Or,
well, when I was growing up back in Alabama, there was a
I feel like I don't belong here in this
there was a book called The 13 Ghosts of Alabama and Jeffrey.
I read that book.
I've heard of that book, probably.
And it's a book of short stories about ghosts. Mm-hmm. And one of the short stories is called The Yellow Dog.
Yep.
And that's what really comes to mind whenever you ask me that question is, mm-hmm. like with me personally, I form a very close and intimate relationship with all the horses that I come in contact with, whether it be if somebody pays me to train a horse, or somebody if I pull one off the kill truck, or whatever. I try to become, you know, I try to, and this is one of my training things, is I try to get inside the horse's head, and I try to allow the horse to get into my head. And that's kind of one of those training philosophies that I go by. So if you allow an animal to be inside your head, that controls the way you interact with that horse, or with any animal, per se. I'm just using horses as a...
It's a good example.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, horse animals from beyond, I don't know. I'm 99% sure that there's spiritual, you know.
Well, I think they have souls. A lot of people think that they don't, but I think they do. I think that's, you know, how they can love us and how they can, you know, communicate or get inside your head, is they have a soul. And I think just like any souls, they're eternal. I believe in reincarnation too, in a degree, but not to the point where, like, I don't think that I'm going to die and come back a cow. Or, you know, I think that
I'm going to be a roach because I kill them all the time.
You're going to be a roach and I'm going to step on you with my big cow foot.
I would be willing to let you step on me so I could just get reincarnated into someone else.
But I don't think like that, but I think, like, you know, that so animals coming back to be another animal is a possibility, you know. There's a, you know, like a dog maybe come back as another dog. I don't know. But I do know that I have seen and felt and dealt with animal spirits.
Yep.
Now, as far as, I mean, to the point where I even, they would climb, I had a cat, a ghost cat in my previous house that would jump on my bed, walk up my body just like a cat would, curl around and lay on my body, and then I'd go to pet and it wouldn't be there. There wasn't.
That's amazing.
So,
absolutely amazing.
We've actually caught dogs barking on EVPs where there were no dogs in the area.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
We got, well, we caught it on Spiritual Rose.
It was Spiritual Rose, yeah. I
went back and I was going to debunk it and say that I think it was something to do with something inside the room. But the more I go back and listen to it, the more you can hear the dog barking in it.
And there was no dogs in that area. I mean, unless it's pretty far away and we have some hell of a good equipment, which
we don't.
We don't.
But it was very interesting to hear it. And I mean, we've had other guests and people say that they've seen a ghost cat. Or
a lot of people have reported a ghost cat. Like, those are the main animals. Now, mind you, on my way to work one day, I had a deer. Remember that deer?
Yes.
I had a deer jump in front of me, and I stopped. The car on this side coming towards me didn't stop. Should have hit that deer, but it was gone. It had disappeared. It was not really there. So I was like,
that's incredible.
What just happened? I think I pulled along the rug, called her. I was
like,
oh my God, I just saw.
You don't never believe what just happened to me.
I've never seen a ghost deer before.
No.
It was so crazy. So, like, every night since then, like, I try to go and I'm hoping to see it again.
Well, a lot of people are sitting there and say, well, why don't we hear about more animals more often? Or, you know, maybe because they don't want to stick around, you know? Maybe they feel like they've done their time and they're gone. And then there are the people talking about dinosaurs. Why don't we hear dinosaurs? And somebody had a really good comeback saying, well, maybe over time, that essence or that spirit kind of wiggles away and starts over again in something else.
Well, yeah, like reincarnated, coming back. Maybe that dinosaur spirit came back as, you
a
know,
crocodile next, or
something else.
Ugh.
We don't know. I mean, unfortunately, there's so many unknown answers in the paranormal world.
Well, the method to get from point A to point B is not written in stone or even documented or even known. So,
right.
I mean, to ask a question like that is is to one, be subjective, and two, to ask you your opinion on it.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, do or die, knife edge, this is fact. I don't know. I just know I hear the things that I hear. I see the things that I see. You know?
Exactly.
I don't know the things that I'm told.
Well, see, and that's the thing with the paranormal world. If you're wanting to partake in being in the paranormal world, then you need to have, one, an open mind, and two, a realization that you're never going to have the actual answers.
No.
And you're going to have to accept that you don't know the answer to everything.
Yeah, that because
it's a
there's
possibility
not...
of. Mostly, it's a lot of conspiracy theories.
Yes.
Maybe.
Like, even scientists will look at something and be like, I cannot tell you how that could have happened. But at the same time, you have a paranormal investigator that was there, heard something, and then saw it move or something like that. And it's like, well, you know, you can chalk it up to the spirit being there and throwing something at you.
Right.
Or you can just be like, eh, it's just their imagination, even though it's right there in the video.
Right, yeah. And you might go to a place that we went, and you might have a completely different experience than we'd had.
Yeah.
You know, we might go to a place and be like, "Ah, it was just pipes." You might go and be like, "No, I saw a full body apparition, and I heard them actually speaking to me." And we'll go there and be like, "Eh."
Yeah.
You know,
and
that's the thing. That's another reason why. And there's no way to actually scientifically prove anything.
Well, I mean, there's a difference between asking a question maliciously and asking a question genuinely.
Exactly.
And I think that person might have had malice behind that question. But I mean, that it's still a very good question. But again, this is how I roll. Is I like to be, I don't want to say scientific about it, but to be methodical is the more proper term. I mean, look, for example, okay, Albert Einstein's theory of relativity. Okay, do we know everything, or did we discover everything there is in 1914 about matter, atomic weight, and everything about mass and matter? No, this was a series of wise scientists and men and women all making individual contributions and significant discoveries over a period of time to come to the conclusion that you have now.
Right. Which in 100 years
the same
now,
way
it
with
might
this.
Be different.
Right. I mean, yeah. I mean, let's just say in 100 years, there are no disbelievers in the paranormal.
Right.
Right.
We know beyond a shadow of a doubt that my best friend is Rob the alien, or my grandmother is here with me now, or because we have a machine, or we have scientific proof that this,
right,
you know,
this stuff exists.
Facts. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you never know.
So this is a process, is what I'm trying
Absolutely.
To say.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
oh, well, yeah.
You guys are contributing to the process, and I appreciate that.
We go in, and the first thing we do is try to debunk everything we see or everything that's been happening. That's the first thing we do is try to debunk it. If we cannot debunk it, then we find out where everybody was at that specific time, what was going on, why this occurred.
That's why it takes us so long to get anything out, is because we fine-tooth comb everything, because what we put out there, we want to represent the very best of what we are, and we want it with our integrity, and we want to say, okay, we can't disprove this, guys. This is, to us, we think this might be paranormal. And sometimes, you know, we look at a 72 hours worth of review, and maybe there's 5 minutes in that whole thing that we're like, absolutely 100%, we're pretty damn sure.
Yeah.
Right.
That is paranormal, you know.
And then we get lucky, and there's like over 2 hours worth of stuff that we've gotten, and it's like, wow, how am I going to get this into a whole show?
Right. You know, it's pretty, like some places we actually had to take things out. Like, okay, this is definitely what we think is paranormal, but we don't have enough room in our show for it.
So
we just got to use the best of the best.
Yeah. And we just we really pride ourselves on the integrity that we have of our team, the thoroughness that we have.
We'll be right back.
Mercy, a new horror medical thriller from author T. Fox Dunham, published by Bloodbound Books. Based on the author's horrific battle with a rare form of lymphoma that involved intense chemotherapy and radiation, Fox turns the horror of his experience into terror on the page.
William Sane is dying of cancer. On most days, death seems like a humane alternative to the treatment. Stricken with fever, William is rushed to Mercy, notorious as a place to send the sickest of the poor and uninsured to be forgotten, and finds the hospital in even worse condition than his previous visit.
Willie's memories faded. He grabbed his sack head, the sack head of the scarecrow, picking at the exposed chicken wire to hold them in. However, the memories fell out of the holes in his face. They wormed and crawled from the leather flesh and the old clothing of the scarecrow, then squirmed and wiggled down his body.
The grounds are unkempt, the foundation is cracking, and like the wild mushroom sprouting from the fissures of decay around it, something is growing inside the hospital. Something dark.
Fangoria gives Mercy 3.5 out of 4 skulls. Dunham has channeled his many brushes with the other side into the exquisitely rendered, lyrical, supernatural hospital thriller Mercy.
It's feeding on the sickness and sustaining itself on the staff, changing them. And now, it wants Willie.
Come now, Mr. Saint. Just a little more of that sweet mail. So salty and so good. You won't miss it. And we ever do so like our delicacies here at Mercy Hospital.
Part medical horror, part supernatural suspense, Mercy is a hard-hitting fever dream of a novel. I enjoyed the hell out of it. Tim Wagner, author of The Way of All Flesh and Eat the Night. Available from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and bookstores everywhere in both print and digital versions.
Life is an addiction.
Let go. Let it all burn.
You have returned to the Exploring the Paranormal with Geeks Paranormal podcast with Chana and Victoria.
So that kind of raises a question that I have for you two ladies.
Sure.
What do you think about the TV shows that we currently have?
Or even
the ones in the past, like Taps and all that other, Jason Hawes and all that.
I think they started out good. I think they really did. I think a lot of them started out and they were on it. But then as they got popular, as they got like, you know, we need to make sure that, you know, we intrigue the audience. I think a lot of times they started exaggerating stuff and I hate how some of them will try to aggravate the spirit to get a response. You do not need to go in there and provoke them. Sometimes that entity is a child and you're provoking it and calling it names.
Yeah.
No, I'm not cool with that.
Yeah, I know Zach Bagans is.
Zach Bagans is an ass.
I'm not saying anything bad about Zach Bagans.
Oh, I am. He's an ass.
But the, you know, again, kind of saying is he has a very successful TV show.
Right.
But he's a provoker. He does use that method to.
I mean, as a person,
something happening.
Right. As a person, I mean, I don't know him. I've never met him. So like, I have friends that know him and have met him, but I don't know him personally. So I mean, he might be a great guy, but what he shows on TV is somebody that's willing to just completely be, you know, a complete total douchebag to these entities to get a response. I don't think that's necessary. And I don't think it's appreciated.
Well, I think you're right. A lot of these shows, if not a majority of them, started out with good intentions, but just after the almighty dollar came in, it just kind of drama and money and fame.
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, we have friends.
You went away from helping people to making money.
Yeah.
That's kind of what that's all
about. See, we don't want to ever leave that. If we would love to get a TV shows, but we're never going to, we will not compromise our integrity. It's never going to happen. We don't care how much money you have or how much you're willing to offer. We're not going to fake evidence. We're not going to provoke the spirit so that you guys can have a show. You should be able to have a show with what we have. What we're actually showing, what we're giving to the world. You know, we come in with a sense of humor. We're we have, you know, spreading the light onto the paranormal is kind of our theme. Because we don't want it to be serious all the time. When we get in there, we do our job, and we're like, we do it right. But we're not going to be mean about it. We're not going to be hateful about it.
Right.
Just, you know, we're going to go in there and, hey, if it's a child, it's a child. I mean, we're not. And I've gotten the best responses because I'll go in there and I'll just talk to them. And they just talk back if they're going to talk.
So you have some ethics in your method.
Absolutely. I mean, these, good. I mean, for the most part, I mean, unless it's a demonic being, which I'm going to tell you that right now, there's not that many demonic, actual demonic. There might be some asshole entities, but actual demonic entities, I don't think there's as many as people think there is. But that entity might have been a child or a mother or, you know, somebody that maybe they died. Maybe they don't even know they're dead. Maybe, you know, they're trying to protect somebody. I don't know their story, but if they are a ghost, they were a human once with feelings and emotions and, you know, goals and ambitions. And why would I treat them bad? What did they do to me? They died there. Why am I going to abuse them?
Right.
And that is what it is. It's abuse. And I'm not about that.
What's your take on Ed and Lorraine Warren?
And Lorraine Warren, now I got to be real careful with this because I'm friends with their son-in-law. I'm friends with him and his wife. And as far as I don't know them. I never met them. Feel like, huh?
Is that Tony. John Zappas?
No. Oh, John Zappas, no. As far as I'm aware from everything I've heard, they seem like they would have been, you know, interesting people to meet, yeah. At least.
Oh, the Warrens.
Yeah, Ed and Lorraine. So, but I never met them, so I really don't have a take on them. I can't say it yay or nay on them.
Do you believe that Lorraine is or was sensitive?
Yes.
Yes.
I do.
Okay.
I absolutely believe that.
Yeah, me too.
And I believe that her daughter is too.
But she doesn't want any part of it.
But she doesn't really want any part of it. And I will respect that.
Can't even blame her though, because look at all the shit that her
whole life. Her whole life it was about that. And I believe that they had people's best interests in heart with whatever they did, whenever they went. I believe they really did have those families' best interests at heart. And I believe that they took a lot of crap for what they did.
Yeah. Especially back then.
Back in those days when it was so not accepted.
And people were calling everybody kooky that had any kind of belief in it or anything.
So, but me personally, unfortunately, she passed away and we didn't get a chance to meet her. And we, you know, I can't tell details on it because I promised the son-in-law I wouldn't.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Don't compromise anything.
No, I won't. I'm a nurse. This is a locked vault here. You can't get me to get information on people that ain't happening. But okay, so since we were talking about conspiracy theories, and we love our conspiracy theories. What is there a favorite conspiracy theory that you might have heard about, or your own conspiracy theory that you'd like to share?
The mer people that really interests me. I don't think it receives enough spotlight as far as ETs or Bigfoot or anything. But you know, if we have a species of human, subhuman that are
evolved into the ocean,
right? Yeah, that kind of live in 2/3 of our planet's surface. I think we should kind of look into that.
Yes.
Right.
Well, you know, it's funny that you mentioned mer people because last week during our interview, was it last week or the week before last?
I don't know.
I had mentioned mer people in our little conversation only because I believe they're out there. I watched the videos and
recordings of mer people to have it not be. Exactly. There's got to be something to this. And there's like, what they say, like 90% of the ocean we haven't even explored yet. Like, we have no way of getting there. Like, it's totally possible that there's now. It's probably not the, you know, the version that we are thinking of when we think of mer people. I think they probably don't look quite like that. But I think they're real, and I think they're out there, and I think it's something that should be considered and explored more.
There's an actual video on YouTube that I will try to remember to put in the blog that shows a little personal submarine underwater. Then you see this hand slap against the...
With the web fingers.
And then you see this face kind of come up, and they're like... And they have like gills and fins, and sharp teeth.
So it's, but they're like, they're humanoid. But
they're humanoid, but they're not fish-like too. And so it was very interesting. It was very interesting to watch it, and I really wanted to watch more on that because you're right, it's not explored enough. And I think the biggest reason for that is because the pressure, the deeper you get into the water, we can't handle that pressure unless we're in a personal type submarine. How many people can actually afford their own personal submarine to go exploring in the ocean? I would love to go.
Right?
But...
And then, you know, the further down, I mean, there's still the pressure. I don't think they've made anything strong enough to withhold all the pressure of...
I think they had one thing try to go down into the Mariana Trench.
But it's still not.
But I didn't think it made it that far.
Yeah.
That far down.
We're talking like we still have a long ways to go before we'll even be able to have enough, you know, equipment that we need to get all the way down to the bottom of the ocean. If there's a bottom.
So do you think they may be in the very bottom of the ocean where all that pressure is? Or.
Well, I think anything's possible. But.
Well, they talk about some of the...
In a majority of fantasy or legend or whatever, you know, it all kind of stems from a little sliver of truth. And
yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Where that is, I don't know, but, you know, I think it needs to be explored more.
Right. You would think the Navy would have leaked something out, but maybe not, because when we were in the service, you don't talk about certain things,
right?
You can't talk about certain things. Even when you're out of the service, you can't talk about what happened in that certain area. Mm-hmm. So maybe the Navy has found something and it's just locked up, kind of like the Air Force has Area 51 locked up. And
lot of things that's being covered up or locked away by officials. Maybe it's for the safety of the people,
for mass panic.
Or maybe it's just because, you know, they have something else going on. I don't know.
In your research, find out, and we're talking about the state of Florida. Find out major naval bases in Florida, major ley line nexuses, and where the Bermuda Triangle is.
Oh yeah, that.
Plot all that out, and then come hit me up, and then you'll see what I've seen.
I'm always interested in ley lines, and
the Bermuda Triangle has been a very big one for me.
One of the story that we were talking about, the Collinsville story, where we had so much energy. When we did the research and stuff, and I realized that planes in the area for like 50 years prior to this house, this house was like dead center of these planes that fell. Like they would, like when I say fell, they fell out of the sky. They were just going along and bam, and then dropped. And there was five of them. And when we mapped out the location of each one, it made a star.
Mm.
And the house was dead center of that. So I was like, what in the world happened? And the reports were they would crumble in the sky and just drop.
Well, I mean, there's patterns to everything. There's patterns to ley lines. There's patterns to the stars. There's patterns to major structures in the world, like Niagara Falls, the Pyramid of Egypt, Stonehenge. You know, all that stuff's laid out by the celestial bodies and our cardinal directions. So yeah. it all coordinates.
It's amazing, globally.
Right?
It globally coordinates.
Right, absolutely.
Well, there was this, like I was watching the other day about this Navy or this Air Force craft that caught an unidentified flying object. They caught it in their sights. It was over the water, and they saw something in their sights and it zoomed past. And they're like, wow, I can't get a hold of it. Hang on. I'm just trying to get it to where I can track. All of a sudden it locked on and you see it hovering and then it jets. And they're like, man, this thing is going so fast. And one of the Air Force officials actually came out and was talking about this with someone, and it's on the internet. So it makes me wonder. And this is one of the things that I have that's going into the book, into Angel Ray's book. I would love to interview a lot of these ex-government guys and talk to them about some of the stuff they've seen, some of the stuff they're willing to talk about that they've been too scared to talk about.
I personally think that we're going to start seeing some doors opening up in the next 5 to 10 years because they are starting to release that information.
Yeah.
And
well, I have one story that I can share. I can't tell you the exact location
Okay.
or the state, but a friend of mine, we were at a duty station that was kind of synonymous with whatever that flies above you. And he goes, hey dude, you wanna see something cool? And I go, yeah, I'm always down to see something cool. He goes, I'm gonna take you into this room. I want you to look around in this room and tell me what you see. All right, cool. So we go into this little area, go into this room, and we walk in and it's extremely bright. It's very well lit. There's a conference table with several chairs around it and no windows. The only thing was the door. Very well lit, you know, that there's nothing else in there except for this table and chairs.
Oh, wow.
And he goes, you know, you're in a really cool room, right? And I go, no, this is just a normal room with a table and a chair. And he goes, look around you. Do you see any lamps or lighting fixtures?
How is it lit?
So, old Sergeant Pennington immediately walks the fuck out of the room and does not go back in.
No probing for him. So like,
don't know, don't want to know.
Goodbye.
Hasta la vista.
Oh my God. See, I'm just going, okay, like, where is curious. This light coming from?
I'd be feeling the walls. I'd be curious. I'm a curious
cat.
That
is crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God. You would get caught. I would not know.
Yeah, we would end up. I'd get caught.
I'd get caught.
I'm good.
I'd be like, where's it at? Where's it coming from? And I would probably be like, Echo! Echo! Yeah.
No, but he's right. The entire time I was in that room, I see no visible light sources, nowhere light could escape, and I cast no shadow.
Wow. That is crazy, and I so want to go to that room.
That's all I can say about that.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's like opening up so many
questions.
Like so many things that I can't ask. But like,
then I'm like, oh my gosh.
I really want to know.
If you're out there and you're listening to this show before we play the video of it, and you have some amazing stories about UFOs or rooms with no lamps or light fixtures in it,
any kind of UFO or phenomenal stories,
yes, please,
we want to hear them.
You can go to anchor.fm/geeks-paranormal and call and leave us a voicemail, or you can hit us up on our website, which is exploringtheparanormalwithgeeksparanormal.com, and there's a little section right on the front page that you can leave all the comments you want and talk and chit chat.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh, we would love to hear those stories. I love those stories. I want that room. I want to go to that room.
You can have it. I don't want that room. I'm good.
Wait, I'm going to come with some KY.
I'll stand outside the room.
Got my teeny right here.
No probing for me.
No, I don't want to be probed. I'll give that all to Vicky. Victoria can take all of that. Just take it all, because I don't want any of the probing. No. I just want to talk and have it.
You know, if there was ever a time when Ellen came down and was like, okay, you're ready for your bend over, I'd be like, nope, I'm good. I was only kidding.
This is not the broadcasting we received while we were up there. It states, in your words, and they play it back.
Yeah, damn it.
You just got busted.
Like, I was kidding, man. Can't you take a joke? We came 5 light years to get here. Oh, shit.
This is one of the reasons I love this build so much, because there's so much to explore.
Right?
So much to learn. So much that is so interesting that just keeps you on your toes and keeps you going, gets you excited. And
yeah.
I have a couple of buddies that are like, yeah, whenever I go there, you know, I'm just like, yeah, for real. When I'm sitting there going, I'd be that one person to go, oh my God! I'm just that excited of a person that I would just do that. So, it's just an amazing film. It's a very amazing film. And if you have any more experiences, you're more than welcome to let us know. go ahead. Do you have a website for the veterans?
Yes, I do. It's www.horseshealingveterans.org. We have a .info email. It's info@horseshealingveterans.org. Also, we have a Facebook page with several horses, well, pictures of horses and veterans, and the autistic children love to have their picture taken with those horses. And I'm acting like a big goofball with them, so you've already seen me doing all kind of. But it just brings me great joy to be around a horse, and being able to help, you know, a fellow veteran or a child with autism. You know, somebody just in need that just needs to hang out with a horse for a while.
Oh my gosh. If they want to get a hold of you, they can get a hold of you through there.
Yep. Over our Facebook page. I don't want to say I'm always, but I'm very reachable. It's James Allen Pennington. This is my personal Facebook page. Horses Healing Veterans has a Facebook page. Please feel free to reach out if you know of a veteran that's in trouble or they just need a little bit of help or something. If I can't help them, I can pretty much guarantee that I have somebody else that can help them.
Awesome. You know what? Thank you so much for your service.
No, thank you.
And it has been so awesome talking to you and catching up and remembering all the awesome stuff that we went through while we were at Fort Polk.
Yeah.
Louisiana. It was some awesome times. Do you have any more questions you'd like to ask him?
Oh, no. This poor man has been on this here for 2.5 hours now. So
I'd love to come back. And
definitely.
We'd love to have you.
Mark Harvey.
Oh, First Sergeant Harvey. That's my guy.
I remembered it while I was looking at Khalil. He didn't have him on his profile, but I was like, what is his name? And I remembered it was the same name as one of the guys on Ghost Brothers.
Yeah.
Mark Harvey. Yep. So we'll have to tell him that we mentioned him on the show.
All right.
Finally got that in there.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, no.
We didn't plug. Oh, Jesus, Vicky. Well, thank you so much for the surprise. It was an awesome, awesome surprise.
Yeah, thank you.
If you do need help, please contact the suicide prevention line at 1-800-273-8255 and/or please reach out to someone, anyone. There's always an ear willing to listen and a heart that cares. My name is Victoria.
And my name is Shauna. And this is the mini-series, Surviving the Horror, presented by the hosts of Exploring the Paranormal with Geeks Paranormal.
And when all hope seems gone, just understand, all things are temporary.